please.
Lady Ganser.
Good morning.
Hello.
Morning, councillors. We're holding this meeting at 10:22. Meeting the mayor advises for the meeting and members of the public. Council meetings not included in closed sessions are audio recorded and published on council's website. Members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings at council meetings without prior approval being granted. Deputations, no deputations. No public question time. I won't go through the two pages of public question time. You would be aware of that, councillors. I'll just say, in accordance with the local government meeting procedures, regulations 2015, the council conducts a public question time forum to enable members of the public to ask questions on council related matters. A period of 15 minutes, if required, will be set aside at the beginning of each ordinary council meeting to conduct public question time. If a response to a question cannot be provided at a meeting, a written response will be provided as soon as possible. And then we'll go into 15, notice of motions. Under Regulation 16 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015 relating to motions on notice, it states that 5, a councillor may give to the general manager at least 7 days before a meeting a written notice of a motion, together with supporting information and reasons to be included on the agenda of that meeting. General manager of a question in respect which the councillor seeks an answer at the meeting. There's a notice of a motion by a deputy mayor. All right, a notice of a motion has been received from deputy mayor. All right, on 13th November 2023, for inclusion on this agenda and provides the following supporting information and reasons for this motion. I might let you speak to it, councillor. All right,
yeah. Thank you. I've just got to change it slightly to reflect that council will buy. We've got the approval, which Adam probably took, so we've got the approval, but council's got to buy, install, maintain, and hold footage of the in the same as what we do for Hamilton, Bothwell, and others. This motion probably leaves it open for the fire service to do that, but council will be made a beneficiary, so 8% of the land that's covered by the security cameras is council owned.
Councillor Cassidy, did you just second that? So with that, back to the recommendation, you'd like to change the wording.
So change it to, instead of donating, council purchase, install, what else have you got to do with it? Purchase, install, monitor, and maintain.
Monitor and maintain.
Yeah, same as what we do. Wait a minute, you're going to be difficult. Same as what we're doing, but it will not be installed on council property, that's what I'm saying.
We can't actually go onto the property without a permit. CASFIRE has advised us that if we get someone to install on the cameras onto their building, they require a permit to do that. And every time they go to maintain it, they require a permit to maintain it. So what I'm saying is, the best way is that we just give them a donation and we organise it for them to be installed on their building. They are their cameras. They don't need a permit to get someone to come and maintain them, but we can't maintain them and we can't go into the building without a permit. If someone's going to go to Hobart, get a permit, then come back out.
But they don't want to monitor in that because they...
And they're happy to monitor.
No, they're not. That's what he told me. He rang me up.
But we can't monitor this. We can't go onto their site.
No, the electronic monitoring.
No, we can't do electronic monitoring. The cost of electronic monitoring from Ooze to here is $500,000.
Cool.
If we go with cameras. Because we have to go through the tower. Yeah. We have to go through the tower that's sitting out there near Meadowbank.
Yeah.
And they said, the current NBN issues at the moment, you can't monitor it. And for us to record it, because we need... So the best option we have at Ooze is that it's a standalone, like we do a standalone. And then you just read the recorder. It's just like what we got in the football club.
But isn't this a Gretna? No.
I'm just giving an example of what we're going to do at Ooze.
Yeah.
To do that and to beam back here, there's an issue. Yeah.
So it says here, this is the quote from the Jason Viney, who's the CEO of Satisfied Service, which Adam got. Tasmania's major site fire service ignores Central Highlands Council covered costs of installation and any ongoing costs related to running and maintenance.
We can't run it.
No, I think they're saying that they're happy for us to contribute the cost of running and maintaining it, but they'll actually have to do it.
They'll have to do it.
Yeah.
They told me, he rang out, he said they don't want to have to do that because they just want to fight fires. They don't want to have to...
Yeah. Or put it on the toilet block.
Yeah, but you don't get the coverage, and it's about four times a year.
So spend a lot more money and put poles up there.
I mean, the thing is, no one's actually going to monitor it. And we wouldn't do that. It's just like the rec ground one, where if there was an incident, then you can go back and look at it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be
permissible, or wouldn't it be impossible, if there was an incident like there was down there, that herming, you just ring them up and say, can I get a permit for a little bit?
Yeah.
The recommendation as is at the moment would be the correct way to leave it as it is. Councillor
Deputy Mayor, so are you
happy to move it as it is now?
Back
to where it was, and Councillor Cassidy
seconding it. So we're just donating, but he rang out, he didn't want to have to monitor it and all that sort of stuff.
Well, how about we suggest that we write to them saying that we're happy to donate it. If they don't want to do that, then they can come right back to us, and then there'll be exchange of letters until someone's happy.
So what's the status of the ones that Gretna Hamilton?
How far away? Yeah. They could be up to 12 months away.
Yeah. No, we've got 12 months.
They have come, local government association have come on site, had a look at this one, had a look at the Boffle one, had a look at the Ooze one, and to connect them together, there was an issue about us getting a licence for the Telstra Tower. So we would have to get a licence and put another person on the Telstra Tower. So it's been from Ooze, so the general manager has gone, we'll go stand alone in Ooze. And because we own the building, we can have the recorder and everything there, and someone just has to drive up and have a look at the recorder.
Yeah, so it couldn't be possibly that difficult to do something with Gretna, would it?
Councillor Meacham's flashing. What are you
saying? That's fine, Councillor Meacham, but you've got to make sure this is the state government one, that the police department and Premier Cabinet want to put in. There's certain cameras they'll only use, and there's certain frequencies they'll only use. It's not like the one we're going to put in here. That's one that you just put in your normal house.
Okay. What I'm suggesting then is that we simply pass the motion. My understanding, with a third of the year gone, we've spent something like 10%. 10% of our community grants. Right. Let's pass this 2,700, and the implementation stuff, we work that out.
Yeah.
Jason and Kate, we'll work out that process. The monitoring, as you say, I mean, I can look at, back 24 hours plus. On the system I'm showing you now.
Yeah. Because of the Royal Commission and protection of children in the community, there are issues with who has access to cameras and who can move cameras, especially around toilet blocks and those sorts of things. So we need to be very careful, and we need to ensure that we have total control or no control, and we would have no control at the tax fire building. It's easier to give it to them. Otherwise, put it on the club room
I'm
on a building of your own.
I'm suggesting pass this and work out. This is a classic case where the operational particulars of what we do can be left in the hands of people. You know, you can come back to us in December or January and say, this is what we managed to do.
Well, this month, I take on board what you're saying.
Yeah, thanks.
Councillor Miller, and then I think we'll test the table with the actual motion that's there and take on board what the Acting General Manager said. So it seems like a two-part, is it?
Yeah, two.
Could we do it as an A and a B, or...?
Yeah. I just say, let's just donate the money and write to TASFIRE and see if they can come back with...
Okay.
Because
we've got to install it until they okay.
No. But they were pretty reluctant on. They don't want to come discussion of the maintenance and access to. They didn't want to store the footage. They didn't want to store it. They didn't want to do anything with it. Council was the beneficiary.
Alrighty, so back to, we'll hear what Councillor Miller says, then I'm going to put the recommendation forward.
Is there a way Council can do that?
We just said there was. We're going to put it in a two-part. Can I hear Councillor Miller first?
I'm reading this. I take it as this is the first part anyway, because the Council donate $2,700 to the fire service subject to the approval, which we've got, to purchase security cameras for monitoring, and that's all that's got to, your...
there's nothing going to put in the month, so that to me is your is the same anyway. So that will go well as
part A.
Yeah, so someone's got to put them up and someone's got to maintain.
But there's nothing in there to say.
No, that's why I wanted to modify it.
We must be maintained too.
So,
back to your.
The $2,700 includes the installation, provided the TASFIRE provide a permit for us, our contractor to go on site to install them.
Right.
If TASFIRE want to move the cameras and look at something else, that's up to them. Just don't want the cameras, so, yeah.
Righty.
So that includes installation, but it's really just the ongoing maintenance and monitoring, which we've got to work out somewhere.
Not only add anything to this current recommendation, or take it as it is.
If I can, forget about the word.
I'm listening to Adam first. Just a minute, please.
Yeah, I would suggest that we just make a decision if you want to donate $2,700 towards the cameras, and then we write to TASFIRE, and then, because you've got to remember, the request came from the brigade chief, which is a volunteer. That would have to go into Hobart, into headquarters, and headquarters will decide because headquarters is a headquarters duty. So there is politics to get that.
If I can, Mayor, the word monitoring, forget about it. It's recorded, and if there's an incident, you go and look at the recording. Mm. Forget about the monitoring bit like we do with the waste transfer stations where we have to ring in, ring out. Forget about that word. It's a system that's recorded. And if an incident happens, like Jason said, spinning the wheels, they go and have a look at the recording. Mm. That's it.
But Graham, it's saying monitoring shouldn't be the word, isn't it?
No, it's just put the system up, and the system is that it's a recording system.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's your recommendation, Councillor, would you like to
take monitoring out and for recording activities on council property. Does that sound better?
Yeah.
Would you like to read out the recommendation as you would like it, Deputy Mayor?
So, it's Council Day, slightly under 2700, but probably not worth plus GST, to purchase security cameras for recording activities on council property in the vicinity of Gretna, barbecue shed, fire shed, barbecue, public toilets, and home. Although the cricket club got their own.
So you've moved that. Councillor Cassidy seconded it.
Mm-hmm.
Those for that motion. Is there anyone against that motion? Very good. Carried.
Sorry?
Yeah.
They didn't go.
Okay, 16.1, let's move on. Mayoral commitment, 16.2, councillor commitments.
Ah, right.
16.3, general manager commitments. 16.4, acting general manager and deputy general manager commitments. 17, notification of workshops held. No workshops were held this month. Future workshops, number 18. Next council workshop will be held on the 5th of December, 2023. It doesn't say where it will be, possible, I imagine. That's where we have our workshop normally. At Bothwell. Mayoral announcements is number 19. Now, I have a letter from Minister Ferguson. It's to do with Bronte Park. I've had some complaints about the speed limit, driver behaviour, blah, blah. So I will read that. Dear Louine, thank you for your email on the 2nd of October 2023. To the Honourable Felix Ellis MP regarding driving behaviour through Bronte Park Village. I am responding on behalf of the Tasmanian Government as the Minister for Infrastructure and Transport. The Tasmanian Government takes road safety seriously, and as you are aware, automated traffic enforcement cameras have been reintroduced to improve road safety. Automated traffic enforcement cameras complement Tasmania Police traffic enforcement and are placed at a high priority locations around Tasmania, which are expected to provide the greatest road safety benefit for all Tasmanians. I have forwarded your request to the automated traffic enforcement team within the Department of State Road for review of Bronte Park Village for speed camera suitability as a matter of high priority. Please note that the community suggested speed camera locations can be provided directly to the department for review on our website. If you have any questions regarding this review, camera placement or other suggested locations, I have encouraged you to contact the automated traffic enforcement team. Additionally, the department has informed me that additional speed signage will be installed on the approach to Bronte Park Village from the north to support the communication of the change in speed zone from 100k to 60k. For more information about these works, please contact State Roads Information Line. Yours regards, Michael Ferguson, Deputy Premier Minister for Infrastructure and Transport. So that's important and addresses the concerns that I have had.
May I ask, are you aware of any security cameras up there in the area? Because I was going to suggest that they do put the remote speed cameras up there, it could become subject to vandalism, as has happened here in Tasmania already. So I thought maybe if they were placed, they could be placed in the area that they could be observed continuously.
Yeah, take that on board. Councillor?
They need to do more monitoring at Myena. On Sunday morning, or lunchtime, I was getting ready to go to the tip. We heard the motorbike start off from the Great Lake Hotel, and within a few minutes, they were going down past time. Which is 5 kilometres away. And they were just going to go.
Is there a police presence up there?
Yeah, there is. But he also monitors Bronte Park, Durham Bridge, and everywhere else. So, yeah, it's a big area. But, yeah. Now, we heard the motorbikes, like, they were screaming.
So, what would you like to do about that, Councillor?
Maybe that can be added into when we write to Mr. Ferguson about the Shane River Bridge again.
So, you've got that on the future agenda item?
Yes.
Very good. Alrighty, I think that was all you would have received in your documents, the letter I received, I shared with you from Minister Nick Street in regard to conflict of interest. of councillors, you would have received that, I would hope. Thank you. 20 is minutes, 20.1, confirmation of draft minutes, ordinary meeting, 17th of October, recommendation. Mover, please, Councillor Omar, second, Councillor Cassidy, those four. Is there any against? That is carried. 20.2, received by draft minutes, planning committee meeting, no planning committee meeting was held in November. 21, business arising, October 2023, council meeting, business arising. Actions taken. 22 is the new attachment project, which it's always a good report from new attachment, I believe, and it's interesting to see Platypus Walk's been restored and Tiana River and the grant applications. I think the team are very good for new attachment. Could I have a mover to have the report received? Councillor Miller and Councillor Hall, those four. Any against? That is carried. Very good. Everybody. Next one is 23. Is report to council regarding the development assessment panel. That discussion up in your
Excuse me. Can we put that one off until Louise is available?
Yeah. She's left Linda's barn about 10 minutes ago, so. Hopefully, by the time
we could defer that one to
It's important.
It is, it is important.
Well, okay, it's a shame she's not with it on time, but we'll defer that until later. So I'll need to move the agenda to 24.1, wherever that might be. Sorry, I'm still going through.
Can we go to the works?
So we need to move the agenda to the works.
Covenant is the main reason why.
Yeah. If we go to the works, by the time Jason goes through, then we can go back to the...
So...
Do you want to go to works?
Well, we move the agenda to work.
Yes.
Could I have a motion to move the agenda?
26.1.
Councillor Miller.
26.
Those four. Okay. It is carried during the works and services. Welcome, Jason, our works and services manager. Okay, you will see where all the different works and services. The Ridges Green Valley, which we've already discussed. Town maintenance, flashing, buildings, plans. Programs next 4 weeks, grading, sheeting, cover cleaning, waste transfer, tree renewal. Works and Services monthly report for October 2023 be received. Councillor Miller and Cassidy. Councillor Hall, you have your hand up.
Can I ask Jason a question then?
You can.
About Works and Services. I've been travelling with me through Road quite a bit, Jason.
Say that again, John.
I've been travelling on the Meadsville Road. Torrey Hill Road quite a bit lately.
Excuse me, Councillor, can I just get a carrier for this and then it's the next item?
We haven't gotten to 26.2 yet.
We're still
on 26.2.
I'm trying to get there if anybody would wait. The recommendation was moved by Councillor Miller, second by Councillor Cassidy, that Works and Services report be received. Is there any against that? All right, that's carried. Now we'll go into... 26.2.
Is a seconder for that. Can I speak to that for Jason?
Sorry,
I'm not 26.1. On 26.1.
Yes.
Potholing and so forth.
Ah, okay. You want to go back one?
We're still on 26.1, Madam Mayor.
And I wanted to speak to
Jason. Since Yvonne Carey, she moved it, if you want to let her speak first, then she can. I just want to ask you some questions, that's all.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, Councillor.
I've noticed the tree removal at Thousand Acre Lane, so it looks like we're going ahead with that. I'm just going to ask, what are we doing with the wood? Is that being recycled somewhere, or?
All the mice has been chipped. Yes.
It's been chipped
on site. Yep.
So so it'll be used for.
Yeah, we'll put it up for tip. Anyone from the community can grab it.
Good, thank you.
Some of the community members have already been hit with large amount of approaches when we've been delivering it to them. That's what I'd rather take it up to tips. So, Madden's have got some, Carl and Trip have got some. If anyone wants a load, they just ring me here for anything that's available that's been delivered.
Oh, thank you, because I didn't
know
that
could
have done with some.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you. So, I'm in there and I'm on my drive this morning. From my bike off to Hamilton along the hollow tree, I noticed that there's quite a few holes, probably about this size, right down through the bitumen, and it's exposed in the some material. And I just wanted to let you guys know it's all along there. If you want to take a look at that, I would assume as well as the dumps they're tearing up.
Test with holes for the new stabilisation job.
Mm. They probably don't top them back up.
Thank you very much.
That's all.
So we're now going into, we've had the recommendation for the Works and Services report be received. That was moved by Councillor Miller, second by Councillor Cafferty. That was carried. Now we're 26.2, road report, Meadfield Road and Hall Hill. Councillor Hall, you wanted to speak to that?
I was just going to ask Jason about his Works and Services. Now, I'm new to this game, and on your September and October monthly Works and Services report, potholing showing me to road. I travel this road quite a bit between Ouse and Bothwell, the road I use quite a bit. I got to the top of the Clairvaux double ramps where the old boundary between Hamilton and Bothwell used to be. That's what I see on the Toriel side of the road, Toriel end, the road was terrific. On the Meadfield end, the 18 kilometres to Bothwell, I just asked why that work wasn't done, the puddling, shouldering on the Meadfield Road. And I, as a representative for the community, there's two ladies that travel their children on that road, one from Clairvaux and one from Meadfield. And I just asked why hadn't it been done, but that's all I mean.
Just to clarify on this, since I have the potholing that was placed on those Works and Services.
Yeah, it was placed on September and October Works and Services report.
Well, I'm pretty confident that there would have been some potholing done on there.
I travelled.
Maybe not the whole length of the road. They might have went out there with one load of gravel to fill in a day, a short load. I can check that, definitely in the time sheets. If it was on there and it hadn't been done, then, I mean, absolutely there's a possibility that, you know, because there's a lot of capable and pacing with the Works and Services, and it could have been from the previous month or misplaced, but you definitely don't put it on there to make it, I suppose, look good that we're undertaking more work than we should, because that's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
But I could definitely check that was the case, but some concerns were raised about Meadfield Road. So I took an inspection out there last week. I would have thought that the road was in fair condition. I mean, it's not outstanding, don't dispute.
No, it's
in fair condition. I definitely didn't think it was unsafe. And I then also got the other supervisor to travel that road who also thought the same. No doubt there are areas with corrugation, loose gravel, there's areas down to bedrock on that road.
Yeah.
No doubt. And I know the horse gullies hasn't probably been sheeted in 10 years.
Mm.
Don't dispute that. It's almost impossible to get around all the roads every year. You just can't do it with the volume of network that we've got.
And for my for your information, I went to the nurse supervisor, Mary, and Councillor Bailey's come along because he's had 40 years' experience in road construction. So we went and had a good look and took photos, and I found, of course, there was a bit of stormwater damage going along the sides of the road. There was a bit of corrugation in a couple of areas. Councillor Bailey, do you want to add to that?
Right, just continue on, does it?
Yeah, and then I'll ask
Councillor
Bailey to proceed because he
went up and moved. And in regards to, I suppose, probably Thor Hill in the last couple of years, has had more material put on it than Leedsfield, absolutely, last few years. And that was probably because that was getting into a despair where it really needed it. And prior to that, you know, in the last 10 years, probably didn't have as much as Leedsfield has. You know, I just look back on the last 5 years, what's been reshaped at Old Maidsfield. So back in 2020 was probably the largest reshaping program that we had, where we put 11,049 tonne. So it was reshaped from the start of Boffle right through to the Maidsfield Bendover boundary. And from there, each year, over the last four, was probably had around 300, 400 tonne each year, which is not a lot, half a dozen truck and trailer loads. But for the last 5 years, there's 90,000 that's been spent just on reshaping on Leedsfield. But, you know, absolutely there are areas on that road, don't dispute, like many of our roads, that needs material, down to bedrock. Corrugation, I know recently graded from Clare Bay up the hill, coming back towards Boffle, and that being corrugated, because it was probably a little bit too dry. We hope to get back to that before Christmas. But in general, I didn't think that it was unsafe for road users, no more than any of our network in the municipality. I think the geometry of Meadsfield and Toyle was probably a higher priority than the actual condition of the road, just in the corners and how steep it is in areas. But, you know, I suppose the fortunate nature on an unsealed road is that you do have loose material, corrugation, potholes that has to be dealt with.
I'm only just saying is that I'm not here to put your job apart. I'm only just asking why I wasn't on there. I travelled that road for 100 days straight.
Yep.
And I didn't see no potholing showing. That's the only reason why I'm brought.
And if that is the case, and I will look at that September report with the time sheets and see if there was potholing done. And it could have been one load, and they might have went through and just patched out. You know, the guys could have been at Watermana potholing and then didn't have enough time to get back up where they're alive and said, oh, well, we'll shoot out in Leedsfield and just do the worst holes. And I can recall them being out there, but, you know, that might have only been 3 tonne of gravel. And you probably don't notice it too much, no doubt.
But regarding the washouts on the road now, there's three pivots on that road that don't turn their end guns off.
One on Thor Hill?
No, one on Bendeavon Hill.
Yep.
One 200 metres past Bendeavon Strait, okay. And the one on Bendeavon Strait. I mean, that is hazardous because I've drove through that and my window wipers cannot take the amount of water an end gun's putting on the road now.
And I feel
that's a safety issue. Water, unduly amount of water on the road creates potholes and it's mud. I mean, if you put an inch of water on a road, it becomes mud.
Valid point, and I didn't realise the ones on Bendeavor and they were still going on the road, but I know there was one on Thor Hill, which I seen last week. I took a photo of it, which I'm yet to get back to the landowner, but we will. I mean, and that's something that we can do, right, to those landowners, or give them a call and speak to them. And I remember some time ago, actually, council, because it was an issue all over the municipality, and council actually put it in their rates notice, I think, by memory, just to remind all landowners that this is what needs to happen. So that probably needs to go to rates notice again. I can contact those landowners directly. They're on there, that affect that, because you're right, it is, it's going to survive.
At the bottom, excuse me, I'm finishing up with this. At the bottom of Bendeavon Hill, you can see where the water's crossed the road on the possible side and cut the road out.
That's a valid point. We need to speak to those landowners and just remind them that the end gun needs to be turned off on the people.
I'm not here to question your work, Jason. Yep, you've got a big area.
Yep.
It's most of gravel.
Yep.
It's during years like this, you guys sometimes can't get around to things. I understand that.
Yep.
But I feel as if it's my duty as a councillor to bring it to the table and have it as a discussion.
And in that inspection, like I did say last week when the concerns were raised about Mansfield Road, I noticed a pivot that was on the road on Tor Hillside, which I actually took a photo. It's only a new pivot, I believe. But, that's on my to-do list to contact the landowner in regards to that. So I'll make note just to contact the other landowners on that road as well.
Okay, so you'll contact the landowners?
Yeah, and maybe that we put it in the rate space again as a reminder to all landowners, because it happens widespread throughout the municipality.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good.
If those members of the public have got a concern in regards to the condition of the road, there's a public request form that they can fill out at the council, and then they can put their name to that, what are their actual concerns, where those concerns are, and meet with me on site, and I can go for a drive with them, more than content to do that, and we can prioritise the work from there, absolutely. But I don't dispute that there are some defects on the road, but it's not unsafe, I don't believe.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Cassidy?
There's an area this entire discussion concerns me. And Councillor Hall, can you confirm that your family owns farming properties along that Meads Field and Tor Hill Road. Should you declare interest at all?
We did discuss this, Councillor, with the general manager and I, whether this would be a conflict, and it was agreed that it's not.
No. And I think the best way is if any councillor sees any issues with any of the road network, that they just send an email through to the works manager, and the works manager will deal with it straight away instead of waiting 4 weeks to
I've only discussed something that's on the works and services sheet there, that's got to be moved and seconded. That's all I've brought forward on this matter.
And I will definitely find out about that.
It's okay, I understand that you got run the
button. And if there is, where it's been misplaced on the works and services report, then that would be an honest mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But I will check that,
Okay, thank you. And Councillor Bailey, did you have a comment, or
are
you right?
Oh, no, I'm pretty right. I did go back from lots of council people one day. I did go back to the Tor Hill Road, which I often do, I drive around the roads a fair bit. Before yourself and Barry called me that day, at that time, I did tell you both where the corrugation would be before we even went near the place.
Yep.
And there was only, you know this guy yourself, about the length, 2 lengths of a car is about, and it always occurs there. You're very, very lucky to get that road graded without you get that on there.
I think that the Clareway Hill, probably.
I try to do these reshaping programs, I'm not one for putting just a low here and low there. I like to keep a full kilometre, instead of a whole kilometre. So I just think it's pointless by putting a low here, and it just, that's my way of thinking, it just blows away and goes. That's why sometimes you think you look at the road and think, geez, that should have been reshaped.
And that's probably for an elected member's mayor, but reshaping how it actually works, because Barry and I, because we've got such a large network of unsealed roads, you can't be up the road everywhere. So a lot of it is actually left to the truck drivers who travel these roads, and when they see those bony patches of where there's no material, and they reshape the material over that, and then it's graded up. Or the grader operators will say, you know, there's no material here, we've brushed it up, and we need some here, or next year we need some here. And I suppose from a budget point of view, Barry and I try to put more material on the higher volume roads, which is not always the case. And looking at those figures, you'd dispute Leesfield has probably been light on, especially in the last 4 years since 2020. But that will turn around again. But that's probably how we tend to work the resheeting program. And the smaller roads that are probably, you know, those 5 to 7 kilometres, we like to try and reshape those from one end to another, and then you might not have to touch them for 6 years, you know. But there's places also in the municipality up on the Bash and Interlaken and Denniston where you reshape the same areas every year just because of the weather, the wind, and heavy vehicle movements. So unfortunately some areas need material every year.
Councillor
Cassidy, and then we'll Jason, would you suspect that speed, excessive speed, that is, on these unsealed roads contributes to tearing them up? On some of these unsealed roads, you can see, especially around the curves, where they
wash out. That's the corrugation. And, I mean, well, if they're speeding on their unsealed roads, for me, they're in good condition. if the corrugation... is, you know, that's caused by a number of factors, weather and the type of material, and be mindful, I suppose, the material that we use on our roads is not perfect all the time from where it's mined and extracted within the quarries, how it comes out. Sometimes the material is too bony, it doesn't have enough PI in it, so therefore it goes a little bit looser quicker than if you've got more clay in it. If you've got, you know, a large network of log trucks and heavy vehicles on the road, all those highway contributing factors that come into play why the material doesn't last as long. Sometimes it can come down to the way it's resheeted and graded on the roads. Most of the time, I mean, we're never going to get it perfect all the time, and we've got to source our material locally, because if we didn't, that cost to council to cart that from, you know, say a Bridgewater or a Brighton to our networks up in the Highlands would cost council an absolute fortune. So even though the material comes locally, not always is it absolutely perfect.
Well, thank you, and that's been well explained. 26.3, Patrick Street stormwater issue. Report is by Jason.
Update. Okay, so we've had some concerns raised by residents and Bothell in regards to upgrade works of the stormwater that have recently been done. And this resident had some concerns about his house almost getting flooded out in the water coming out of the heaves of the property. Prior to this rain event, the resident did contact myself and Barry in regards to the issue and raised the issue with us. And we both, at the time, thought that it wouldn't be a problem because of the level of the pit compared to the level of the... gutters on the house. Basically, if the stormwater pit overflowed, the water would have got away down the street and not come out basically at the heaves of the property. So when the lock connection was changed and the stormwater upgrade in the stormwater pit, it went into the pit higher up the pit and also had a bend on the connection. This was changed in the upgrades, and that's what was raised to Barry and I. And Barry and I thought at the time that it wouldn't be an issue, basically. So in this severe rain event that did occur, the water did back up out the pipe and come out the heaves. Was lucky not to cause damage. There's a few issues with this. So Barry and I engaged the consultants who did the design for the stormwater upgrade, PDA Surveyors. And there's a pit across Patrick Street, that's a problem that also contributes to this, which is the grades too small, the overflows and the water's running across the highway, which we need to change the pit. And then there's also, when we went down there one night when it was raining and I had a look at it actually in flood, there's a lot of water that comes down Marketplace and basically does a big loop and goes into this pit outside the resident's house. And it's sort of doing a loop like this to basically go straight down the road. So we've decided that we're going to put a new line in across the highway to take that water come down Marketplace so it doesn't do this loop and put extra pressure on the pit outside the residence place, and then put the lock connections back to how it was prior. Probably not move the lock connections back to the top of the pit, but put that elbow on it. So that's where we're at with that. But we're going to get the contractor who undertook the works for the stormwater upgrade to carry out the rest of it. So I've had the design done by PVA. I actually spoke to the contractor a couple of days ago. They've got a works meeting in the next couple of days to try and program this job in for council before Christmas. So that's where we're at with that.
Can I talk about this as a ratepayer, Mayor, or
yes.
Do you think this is inappropriate to discuss
you can
this?
Talk as a ratepayer.
Now, as a ratepayer, we are talking about the flooding at my house. Now, before this all happened, I contacted the Works Service Manager and said, I am concerned that this isn't going to work. The water's going to back up my stormwater pipes and flood out my eaves. You were busy that day, I think, and you sent the other Works and Services Manager along to... He was quite confident that it was appropriate. I said, what I'm concerned is that you guys have modified my stormwater pipes further down the pit. If this pit fills up with water due to a deluge of rain there, that I feel as my water off my roof will not escape down the stormwater drain. I was that concerned with my decision there, I went and made an appointment with the general manager with my concern, the same as what I brought up with the two works and service manager. I said, it just doesn't feel right. It's modified. Concerns. Well, on the 21st of October at 13:47 p.m, lo and behold, we got a deluge of rain, filled the pit up. My house is like an umbrella. I've got water coming out of a brand spanking new house, which has been planned by the planners. It's been done to the specifications, what the Central Highlands Council have asked me to do. It took me and my son a fortnight to lay the sandstone pavers in the front of my thing. Now they hold 2 inches of water when I get a shower rain. The disappointing part about this, Mayor, on the Monday morning, I contacted the general manager. And this is the words the general manager told me. It was my duty to keep the stormwater off my premises. Now, that is absolutely downright disrespectful to a ratepayer and to the community people. Now, whoever engineered this, right, 101 of engineering, if you put 290 degree bends in a pipe, it will reduce the water flow. 101, the mathematics of that there is, if you put 290 degree bends, the hydraulic engineer would turn around and come up with a figure and said, is these pipes need to be bigger than what they are. Bigger than what they are. Now I thought, hey, hallelujah, we can install more than finished on, fixed on Patrick Street. No, I'm not being disrespectful to you or whatever. We're going to get this fixed. We're going to get this problem fixed that we've had for so many years. And here it is, worse than what it was before. I don't know whether the engineer had put batteries in his calculator. It's a disgrace. It's disgusting. We've got every now and again this, and then you've got a worker over there trying to clean the grid out, Jason, that won't take the water. And I thought we're eliminating all this problem. We've signed off, the council, the Central Island Council, signed off on a job that's inappropriate for Patrick Street.
But we wouldn't know that at the time.
Just a moment, I'm sharing here. Just a moment, please. I'll go back to Works and Services and ask, can this be rectified?
Oh, look, it is being rectified.
It is.
I mean, fairness to the general manager at the time, when you probably spoke to her, she might not have been, I don't obviously think she was aware that the stormwater was an issue that out on our property. She thought maybe the stormwater that you talked about was inside your property. You didn't understand exactly the term of what the problem was. But I just viewed some of the things you said there in regards to the angle of the pipe coming into the pit, and even some of the recommendations we've had back from the engineers. And feel free, council, more than content to get any engineers to do some hydraulics on it, and they'll probably all come back with the same recommendation. There's also, and the pit across the road, the grate that's on that does block up, is a hill-proof pit, which was put there for pedestrian traffic. Probably in hindsight now, does that need to be there? No. And that's causing us grief. But that's in the process to be repaired and be fixed, like I stated before. And there is also, with your property, as we know, because there's a charge, that's got a charge line. It's got a charge line, so there's water in your stormwater pipe all the time. So the head flow from where the pipe is filled up on your property to your heaves is not a lot. And when you get those intense rainfalls that come down like it did prior, doesn't have the head pressure to push it out also into the stormwater pit, which is another concern. And probably I never got the engineers to go back and look at the rain figures, but they can look at the rain figures to see, since the property's been built, whether or not there's been any intense rainfalls like that since that property's been built. There might have been more consistent rain flows, which there has been, and the water's consistently come down for a couple of days, but able to get away. But as for intensity, we're not quite sure. So that can be looked at as well. But, we are in the process of, like I say, putting another line across the highway to relieve the water going into that pit outside your property, and also removing that grate on the other side. There's always going to be teething problems after the storm water or after any capital works upgrade. And that's why it's on a maintenance contract for 12 months for the contractor, because these things, it's never going to be perfect.
Do you realise, Jason, that stormwater pipe that they've put in is half full of gravel at the moment?
It probably might be.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. That stormwater,
yeah,
right across there, is half full of gravel.
Yeah. And that's something that we'll need to get cleaned out. Yeah. Probably, no doubt, it's lost all the gravel from the side of the road down the pit into it. And that's something that's a maintenance issue that we need to get sorted.
The DES manager would like to comment, and then Councillor Cassidy.
I'd like to make some comments, and as talking to a ratepayer, it should have, with the stormwater when it comes to the house issues, the general manager should have said that ratepayer to me as the permit authority and the plumbing inspector. Okay, that house was signed off with the charge line, because when John was doing it, we couldn't get full properly out to the gutter, so it was basically, this is the way we're going to do it. If they had come to me, I would have suggested that we put rain hoods. What we call a rain hood is, as it comes out of the gutter, it goes into a box site situation that has an overflow that flows out and comes onto the ground. So if there is any capacity that the pipes can't handle that it will actually flow out onto the ground. It doesn't go back into the house. This is just something that you set up in a lot of high-volume areas like Queensland. They have a lot of it, or they don't have gutters in Queensland, one or two. The other one would be at the pit where it went in. The 90 degree should be a 45 that goes into the direction of the flow that pulls the water. It doesn't work against the water. So you've got that 45 that goes, if the pipe's going north, you point the 45 degree north. It's not on an angle like the 90 degrees that John was talking about. So it actually helps pull, suck that water out of well. So you could have done two of those things, and I'd be confident, but depending on the flow of the water and the rain event that happens only 4 or 5 minutes mostly, those type of things, that a rain hood on those pipes would disperse the water out onto the ground. You wouldn't have that backflow problem.
And just to follow up on that, and I think because the question was raised before, why has it never happened in the past? and which is about a point. And the reason, have we had those intense rainfalls since the property has been built? And can you think of any problems when it's been as intense as you built the property? Yeah?
Not only just from the
as intense as what it was at all.
Intense, and I've never had no issues until the modification has happened to the people out the front of my thing.
And the other suggestion that I was looking at with the engineers is because there's no problem with the shop and the sheet getting away because they're closer to the school water at the front. Correct?
Well, Graham did suggest to me on the shed when I put it in.
No, but they get away, can't they?
Yeah, no problem.
So it's the house. The other suggestion that I spoke to the consultants about was putting a new line in, following the sewer line from Taswater in Taswater's easement out to William Street.
Mm.
That way you haven't got a charged line at all, and it flows and give you a lock connection straight there, and we can connect your property straight into that. That's just a possibility that we was looking at, so you don't have a charged line at all.
Yeah.
They are coming to take some levels in a couple of weeks, they said, but I'm not sure where they're going to be. So they'll take some levels.
All right, can we just transfer this now between Works and Services and who was a great player to discuss and follow through with that? Councillor Cassidy, I'm going to move on. What would you like to say?
I have to say that in 9 years service as a councillor, I've never once brought up my property at this council table
to
discuss anything of a personal nature. I firmly believe, rather than taking up council time bashing this around, that it should have been a meeting scheduled between the ratepayer, the general manager, works and services manager, DES manager, and they handle it on a personal level rather than taking council's time.
Thank you. And we were concerned that it was to do with council property as well out onto the footpath, so I'm not really sure. But
no, they are voted.
This will go as
a
rate, excuse me, as a rate payer to Works and Services. Okay, thank you. Works and Services, monthly report. Oh, 26.4. To Cumberland Street, Hamilton.
I'll let Barry discuss this one there.
Okay, Barry.
Put the report together.
Would you like to discuss that?
It's just that we had some concerns with some black mould developing on the ceiling.
Yes.
And so I got a roof plumber inspector up to do an inspection on the roof. He did a basic report, which is what I've had in the our report. And I've got some plumbing costs for a replacement of the roof. I hope to fix one issue out of that report, which is water running underneath the side of the house. We fixed that, found the issue and fixed it. But yeah, as you can see through the photos, the roof's in very poor condition, which is causing the black mould inside.
Thank you. And there's a recommendation there's a recommendation that council allocate additional capital works funding in 23-24 budget to replace the roof and undertake additional works of 2 Cumberland Street, Hamilton. Now, would you like to move it?
Yes, that's this is the projected order.
23-24.
Yeah, this is the financial year, so sometime after Christmas.
Who was the seconder?
That's the Councillor Cassidy.
Who was the... Oh, I've got him as the mover.
That's
actually. Councillor Bailey and thank you. You're really on the ball for that one. Okie dokie. 26.5 is Ash Cottage, Barry Harbeck Works Supervisor. Would you like to comment?
That's pretty much the same sort of thing. We've got gutter back to come up and clean the gutters out today, grass growing out of them. And I mean, we used to do this ourselves, but we've OH&S now, and the cost to get them come up from town and just run through and do a procedure, and they do a pretty much a dilapidation report at the same time, so they've just done one on the Ellendale Hall, which has come back terrific as it should, because it's only been re-roofed not long ago. But this one come back as poor condition, so we went and I done the same thing, got the roof plumbing under inspection, and that was scary, that one.
So that's the same, almost the same recommendation for 23-24 budget. Moved by Councillor Bailey, seconded please. Councillor Miller.
those four need recommendation. Is there anyone again?
Can I speak to it, please?
Oh, okay.
Is it Mark Hughes, the vacuum guy?
Got it back to Tasman.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's fine. Okay.
All good? Fine. Yeah. Okay, that's a bit of fun. I'm going to
thank you all.
Thank you,
Barry.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, guys. That the health and wellbeing plan 2020-2025 monthly program report for October be received. Move it, please, Councillor Honor. Second to Councillor Meeting. No discussion on that. No, all good. Those for the motion. Is anyone against? That is carried. Thank you. 27.2 is the monthly finance report. Have you gone over that with a fine tooth comb?
Yes.
I would hope. Any comments on that one? No. Councillor Honor has moved a recommendation that the monthly finance report to 31st October 2023 be received. Seconded, Councillor Miller. Those for the recommendation. Any against the recommendation? No. Request for rates remission of council remit for generation property located at 316 Lower Marshall Street. Move it, please, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honor. Those for the recommendation. Is there anyone against? That is carried. 37.4 State Grant Commission paper. The recommendation of councillors provide their comment on the State Grant Commission discussion paper by the 8th of December. Remove it, please. Councillor Meacham, seconder. Councillor Fauna, Miller. Sorry, Councillor. Those four. Any against? That is carried. Very good. 37.5. Draft as manager and emergency service bill. There's two options where you would have read all that.
We're referring back to that recommendation that councillors provide their comments on the State Grants Commission discussion paper, etc. Just noting that I know we're past it. Do we need a discussion at this stage, or do we provide comments back to the GM and Adam?
I believe you provide a comment
back. I provide the comments back. Yeah, okay. Both cases in our favour, so
absolutely, both of them. Both
as much as we can.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good report. I was saying for a long time.
I like this idea. You know, it's a service. It's the community. It's services rather than service. The community that's present.
So do we have a consensus that we all agree with?
Yes,
it?
Yes, how about that? Yeah, we endorse
could
both.
We make a note of that?
Both income maximising approaches.
Very good answer. All righty.
0.75.
Who's rushing it? Recommendation that councillors provide their comment on the fire emergency services to the GM on the 29th of November. Councillor comments to commit obviously for Friday the 1st of December. Can I have a move, please? Councillor Cassidy, seconder. Councillor Miller.
Yes, you
can speak to Councillor Cassidy.
Oh, yes, I've been kind of following along with this, and I think this is up in the air right now that there's been a lot of pushback on this fire levy, and Minister Ellis is under pressure and going to further review it. So I was just wondering if there's any point at all continuing with this, or should we just defer until we get some report from Ellis?
Yeah. I guess Legat had advised us on Monday the 13th of November that if we do have any comments or regarding the bill or issues with the bill,
that we should let them know, so that when they do look at reviewing it, hopefully in January, that they take that into consideration, and they also look at the briefing notes and those sort of things. So if we do have any comments, it would be good to give that back to Legat so that they can get a positive outcome, and that it's not going to be too much of a funding issue for ratepayers in the future.
Yeah, that would be good. So it was moved by recommendation, moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Miller. Those for the recommendation. Is there anyone going? Okay, that is carried. The council of the recommendation that councillors provide their comment on the Youth Transition Action Plan discussion paper to the General Manager by Monday, the 27th of November 2023, so that council can provide comments before Tuesday, 28th of November 2023. So I haven't got a lot of time for that one. Put over mover, please. Councillor Honour, second please. Councillor Miller. Councillor Honour, do you have any discussion on that?
No.
Councillor Miller?
No.
Votes for that motion? Is there anyone going? Carried. Very good. 27.7 is the Tasmanian Autumn Festival sponsorship. This one confuses me a tad, and I might rely on some of the councillors that have been here for some time. To my understanding, there's already a tourism committee of council that operates from Bothley in conjunction with the visitor centre. And to me, the festival is not an open door for Central Highlands to join, because we put a lot of money into the Bush Fest, especially we have employed a coordinator, so we're certainly spending pretty well for our own area, and I can't see any benefit to ratepayers and or them being happy with us sponsoring somewhere else. So that, to me, is a concern. So, Councillor Miller.
After reading through it, I had a concern with this autumn festival. When I think of the autumn festival, I think of the Derwent Valley, not up here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I have that concern. What else for the other concern I have is that
this is
the Tourist Association has been brought to mind lately with the selling of some of our other buildings that we've got here, heritage buildings, that maybe I'll bring in later on that we need new pamphlets. We've got the old pamphlets that are years old that are now not even, some of the information is not even appropriate now that the council looks at redoing our heritage walk, because we have had a lot of people like those pamphlets. They like the walk, they like the information, but the information now is...
Perhaps you would like to have that as a budget deliberation so we can get some brochures together.
Yep.
And we'll have a working group in the... Okay, so comments around the table, please.
Well, I think they're inviting up to talk to us. Easy to be in the offers.
The Central Highlands tourists.
So this might be well, exactly. So, yeah, I think they ought to invite him. When is the Autumn Festival, Mark?
No idea.
Yes, next year. So, we've got to give a bit of time, maybe invite him to a workshop then.
Well, either a workshop or a presentation.
Would the council want to spend money on another area?
We probably will, but invite him up to talk to us, see who he is, see what they want to do, and we can make a decision then.
And we've got to think of our ratepayers. Do they want to spend money on another area? Councillor Honour.
Who actually
set up this committee for Down Valley and Central Highlands line.
No,
it wasn't done through Central Highlands Council that I know of.
No.
And yes, we've got...
Well, it won't hurt to hear of what he's got to say. Mm.
So, I think the council as themselves, the office staff and everything do a fantastic job in our community.
They do.
And they do it for the community.
Mm. I just think, you know, we just wish them the best of luck for the future.
Madam Mayor, if I may say,
you moved the motion, Barry.
Sorry, just a moment. I'm listening to Councillor Cassidy.
Yeah, I just want to say that I tend to agree with Jim, because like here in this fourth paragraph, they're saying that Derwent Valley and Central Highlands Tourist Association has a membership base of 44 businesses and growing. Central Highlands businesses currently account for 25% of the member base, such as Karenga Farm, Rathmore, 28 Gates, Meadowbank, and the Great Lakes Hotel. That's not insignificant, Madam Mayor. I believe that, you know, we're all about tourism and so forth. This might be an opportunity to get our brand out there, but I think maybe Jim is correct. We bring this gentleman along and make a presentation to council, have a show and tell, and see what he's got to offer us, see how it's going to benefit us, and then we can decide whether we're going to spend money or not. That's what I think.
And I think if we go that way, we'll also have to have a community meeting to see if they want to spend, the ratepayers want to spend their money somewhere else. So that's important. I'm all about the ratepayers' concerns as well. Councillor Mead.
Tourism or hospitality is the one big crisis influence in this LGA. Mm. And we should be, you know, I'll read the reports from this body. They do great worthy work. I would endorse, yes, having the Michael Smith up to address this either December or January.
I think we should look at who's our one tourism committee to start with and have a little chat with them.
Yes.
Who's our own tourism? Do you know who they are? I don't.
I used to be on the tourism committee.
We went to recess.
Yeah,
they
don't
have
I don't know about recess.
We
need to investigate. We need to do our homework.
Can we do... Madam Mayor, would you mind if I move a motion that we invite Michael Smith to the January meeting during public question time? Would you mind?
Or would you rather it be a workshop?
All right.
Workshop might be better. Then you can ask for
it. No, everybody's going to attend the workshop. That's the problem.
I reckon a council presentation.
Yeah. That would be better, Madam Mayor. Yeah.
Invite him to present.
Would you think January?
I'll make a motion that we invite him
January.
To invite Mr. Michael Smith from this Derwent Valley Central Highlands Tourist Association to make a presentation to full council on January 2024.
Okay, second that?
Yep.
All righty. So, all the motion? Is there anyone against the motion?
Are you?
I'm a bit outvoted, aren't I? No, if we invite Michael, that's fine. Good. So that's carried. Yes.
Can I just say, is this North? It's got me with the Autumn Fest. Maybe he can do something else other than the Autumn Fest. We don't.
Well, we'll discuss it.
I'd still like to bring it into a workshop because that gives us a lot.
Yeah, I thought a workshop would be more sensible.
Because that would give us a lot more open discussion.
We don't all attend the workshops.
Well, we should. Councillor Major.
I know the GM has talked of, when it comes to our strategic planning, keeping a strategic plan that we need to have within that, something that specifically relates to tourism growth, because it is the one growth in employment.
Mm.
Well,
agricultural tourists to bring service there. So, yeah.
I'll ask Janet if she's coming. Didn't we used to have some sort of group that used to meet, Janet? Like there was Karinda and all those people going back a long time ago. What was that?
I think Jim's right.
It's
still
there, actually. But it was on that.
I've been to a couple, I've been to about three in my time, but I reckon the last meeting would have been about five years ago, just when I started. And there was very few
retain any interest from the local tourism operators progress.
And that's why we're putting a recess.
So
I think I attended the last one, and there was a lady here, and I think she's the only one from that group that attended, and I think that's why we decided to mix it.
Okay, 28.8 is the donation. Now, with those donations, it's because, sadly, we're councillors and council staff, we've all lost members, councillors, council staff, relatives within the staff. So without sending flowers and that, speaking with each family, we came up with perhaps it would be better to donate to the different centres. Like with the first donation, it's the Oatlands Multi-Purpose Centre, and that one was as a family of the late Tony Branch. The second one, we'll do them all together if you like, come up with a number. That one was the general manager's father-in-law. And the other one was, of course, our late councillor Scott Bowden. So one is for the multi-purpose centre at Oatlands. The other is the dementia centre at UTAS. And the other one is the cancer research. Adam, did you have anything to add to that? Or you have
No, that's fine. I guess the accounts were just coming up if they wish to donate.
I'll take suggestions from around the table.
$150 for each? I think our cancer research is down the board, so I'm going to go to 500.
It's 500 for each.
You can separate it if you like, but I was going to say for each.
I think for each is appropriate.
500, councillor.
It's $1,500 from council's coffers. We've got the money in the bank.
I agree with the 500. I'll go with the 500. Raise your hand if you're in agreement with 500.
No, that's fine.
And myself. 500 to each.
To each.
Do you want to do a motion for it?
I need a motion. Those three, please.
I'll move a motion that we donate to the Oakland's Multi-Purpose Center, Dementia Center, UTAS Hobart, and Cancer Research Center, who donated $500 each on behalf of Central Highlands Council.
And that's for the three?
Yes, ma'am.
And Councillor Barry, you said you wanted to second the three?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is there anyone against that? Okay, that is carried right through. Donation of $7.50 for the purchase of 10 soft shell jackets for Gretna junior members and $100 for the purchase of lollies for the brigade's annual lolly run, which covers the towns Gretna, Hamilton, Ouse and surrounding areas. I know they do a good job of that. Okay. Yes, Councillor.
I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you. I'll second. Councillor Miller, second. Those four. Is there any against? That is carried.
Yeah, the juniors do a marvellous job, I know. Mm. The,
they do.
With their hands up.
All right, so we'll move.
If we move, yeah, move back.
Yeah, yeah. So could I have a mover to move back?
Yeah.
Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, those four. Against, that is carried. Move back. He's hoping he's a councillor, is he? Okay. Report the council regarding development assessment panel depth. Discussion paper, Louisa, you're on.
Thank you. Thanks for waiting for me this morning. Appreciate it. So, as part of the local government review process, it came out during consultation, apparently, that sometimes councillors feel conflicted between planning and political decisions when they sit as planning authority. So I think it would be good just to recap on our current situation here. So 90% of our development applications, the planning officer assesses via delegation, so that includes no permit required, permitted and discretionary applications. Subdivisions come to court council when you sit as planning authority for your determination, and any discretionary applications which have received representations from anybody, members of the community or statutory bodies, also come to council as planning authority. Now, when you sit as planning authority, you are looking at that development application in front of you, and you, I'm going to sound like Kim now, you take your councillor hat off, and you put your planning authority hat on, and you assess the application against the officer recommendation. And as planning officers, regardless who makes the assessment, we assess against the planning scheme criteria, we assess against those standards, and we make recommendations either to approve or refuse the application. So when you are sitting as planning authority, you are making decisions based upon the parameters you have within the Tasmanian planning scheme. So, I was thinking of an example, but I think that might be too contentious. So, really, this position paper in front of us, which asks council to review the planning, it asks council to review your position as planning authority. So, I guess the fundamental question is, do you feel conflicted sometimes as councillors representing the members of your community and acting as planning authority?
Councillor Cassidy.
Hell no. That's what I'll say. If you want some specific examples, this has basically come out of the Hobart City Council, where councilors have openly, in various media platforms and social media, declared their political position or affiliations or alliances, whether they're liberals, greens, etc., etc. I don't see us as a council having that problem.
No.
Okay? You could look at the cable car, you could look at Crowther statue, there's so many of them down there that, they've got this woke agenda, and it seems to be, you've got the same vocal minority always speaking out against these things. Now, we were elected to represent the entire municipality, and whether we're loved by them or hated by them, we represent them equally. I believe that. Without bias, without favoritism. And so, I do my homework, I research, and I go with what I believe based upon that research, and it's without any political affiliation. In fact, I'll tell you frankly, I vote for whoever's the best qualified, regardless of their politics. Below the line. That's me.
Righto.
If I can, through the chair, the question really was not political. It was, do you feel a conflict between yourself and the community because you are a community member?
That's not how I read it.
No. What I was hearing was more political party.
Mm.
This question to us as a rural council is, And if I was sitting in your seat, I would at times feel, a little bit of conflict because I'm a ratepayer as well as a councillor. That was the question that was being asked. Do you at times feel as though there's that?
It's a stupid question, I reckon. Councillor Miller, my concern, the biggest concern, I suppose, that we all put up at one stage, was that as a community, and although we're in a large area, we still know to some extent the area. We know where the roads go, what the type of terrain is.
Mm.
Now, if we put this, I think we are better off as a planning committee on things like that,
than what
Hannah is down in Hobart. Are they going to then say, for instance, something happens up at Body Park? Now, are they going to go up there and look, or are they going to rely on maps? Now, you know yourself, when you look at maps, they don't really give you the 3D and the what exactly the area is like. That's my one concern, is that they're going to say, we'll vote for it, without their knowledge of what they're voting for in that area, if you don't understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. That's my one only concern.
A minute, I am chairing, and the councillors do have their say, even if it comes to us.
I just wanted to respond. Councillor Cassidy, you are correct. It is definitely the political vibe from Hobart, definitely when you look at proposals like Kangaroo Bay and the cable car. However, this council could also have some controversial development applications coming our way, which may include, you know, major sustainable energy developments, which we may feel conflicted as. But just go back to your point, Councillor Miller. I think what the what this paper is suggesting is, well, first of all, it's saying what types of development. So your normal development applications would still be assessed within council. So the question is, what type of development applications could you see a development assessment panel helping with? So let's think what type. Youth detention centre.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Let's say a government says, right, Tasmania, we need to provide 20,000 affordable homes. Central Highlands, you're going to need to find a space for 5,000. So it's major development applications like that.
Yes, so pinging off of Louisa, she brings up some very, very good points on our Q&A, this past Q&A, Monday or Tuesday, whatever day, Monday or Tuesday. They were talking about that issue about social housing, 1.5 million, and they were complaining about councils being the obstacle, the main obstacle. I don't see that for us because we haven't been offered that option yet, but there is and there will be money out there to build social housing, and that we've already talked about the structure plan and so forth, that people are going to be wanting to move or needing to move actually further and further away from the major population centers out toward the Central Highlands. So we may have to build social housing if we've got the space for it, and the land, that is, and if it meets our planning scheme. And so Louisa's got a point there, but I want to go to Yvonne's point that she's made. Imagine these folks, this independent, not-so, assessment panel appointed by the government of the day, whether it's Liberal or Labor, they're going to be beholden to that government, I firmly believe. That's not a democratic process. Let's say, for example, like Yvonne was pointing out, somebody sitting in some glass tower downtown Hobart, would they know, for example, the Steps Hall property, the entire property was heritage listed, and they could not remove two trees? Would someone sitting in that glass tower drill down into that depth and know that to make a decision in the best interest of that heritage listed property? I don't think so. We know because we're local. We represent the municipality. We're closest to the municipality, and we should keep it that way. And I intend, without your blessing, to make my representation against this.
All right, Councillor Major Men, all right.
This documentation that Louise has put in front of it, it's nice and readable, Louise, makes repeated reference to contentious developments.
Yeah.
Now, I think contentious ones are actually the ones that we should, most centrally, we should be involved in. Because they are our opportunity to put upon the applicant then the most stringent, you know, if it is a case of approving it, we at least have then the option of applying the most stringent conditions to consent, for example. Mm-hmm. And we do know the local circumstances. I'd take out that consent. Certainly we should be dealing with the contentious. And it's also incumbent upon us to sell it to our communities. This is why we made this position. And I'm repeatedly doing that, you know, I'm not with my own community.
Councillor Rock.
So I think the discussion's all been about the smaller planning sort of items that actually aren't contested. But what this discussion is about is about the big ones. So it's like the wind farms, effectively, this could be contentious. Is this council capable of making a decision independent of their own personal views? Now, we failed at Lake Malvina. That cost the ratepayers $200,000.
We did not fail. We still haven't paid.
Okay, we won't go there.
But the reason it hasn't gone ahead is the federal issue.
Right.
It's not a state issue. It's not a government or council issue. We've got a big contentious wind farm coming up. So this discussion point is around, and Louise has clearly asked the question, does any councillors feel conflicted because they want to support the views of their ratepayers, but that is possibly not within the rules of the planning scheme. So you're saying no, but it clearly is your discussion year in, year out. There's always been.
Okay, that's
be careful what you say.
Councillor Miller.
Just be careful.
Yeah, no, going back, I understand that this is more for the bigger, the bigger project, as Louise has said. My concern is if they're going to take that, maybe we're still involved in those bigger issues, that we give them the knowledge that they need to have, and that includes community views. Now, you know yourself, a lot of, although we do have a lot of community members here that will definitely say what they think, but I think that this, to me, as a bigger, if they're looking at the bigger projects, like the wind farm, then yes, but council still needs to be involved in that local knowledge to allow the community to give their views and not just before they go ahead and do and say yes or no to these projects. That's my concern, is that the community and the council, they're not going to get that knowledge.
Well, yeah, it concerns me because is this a move of the state trying to take planning from the local government? This is a little sneaky way to give us a little nudge and then keep pushing. That's how I see it.
If I can put it to the chair there, and it does say in the document there that they will use the knowledge of the local councils.
Yeah.
The ones that I look at here, which is on the movements that Louisa has done, when it comes down to the options, and it was the B, that who should be allowed to nominate and refer a development through.
To me,
this one is set up for, like you said, down in Hobart and that type of thing, where an applicant, being a developer that does things all the time, goes, I'm not dealing with the council, going to nominate myself and go straight through to this committee.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the one that us, as a permit authority, need to look at, where if there is those contentious ones, it could be that it's a mixture of both, the applicant through the permit authority or whatever can make application. So it's sort of things like that to me that jump out who's going to make that decision.
Exactly.
So I don't know if Louisa wants to put a bit on that.
Just a sneaky way of doing it, I think, Councillor
Cassidy. Well, Madam Mayor and others, I was wondering if it's possible that Louisa might be able to, maybe in a workshop or something like that, walk us through like a simulated DA that's been presented to, let's say, the committee, planning committee, regarding the wind farm. I would put to you that the issues about the wind farm, all of the issues are probably so numerous and so complex, in fact, that it's probably beyond us locally. This project, of course, I don't necessarily think that the state should just ramrod through anything they want, but at the same time, this is a, it's not a project necessarily to, it may ultimately benefit us if we get rates from the wind farms, but that's another discussion. But this, the wind farms and so forth, if we're planning, or let's say an observatory or whatever, those are really state projects, federal projects. They benefit the entire state, the entire nation, actually, or the eastern seaboard, for example. So, I don't know, maybe in some certain situations like this, perhaps that's the way to go, that it should just bypass us. Maybe we could have some input. But, you know, you think about all the complexities, all the issues that will come up, all the legislation, the federal legislation, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's probably well and truly beyond our scope to sit down night after night until 1 o'clock in the morning reading all of this information, trying to assimilate it, and then come up with a logical decision. It's possible that we could be pulled this way and that way by different parties. There's one gentleman that's got family that owns farming properties here.
Many.
So, you know, I just think that maybe we ought to consider letting this one go. I don't know.
It's not for me to say.
I've already made up my mind. I'm going to recuse myself.
If we look at the future, I believe that the beautiful Central Highlands will be nothing but little turbines, because there's wind farms popping up everywhere like mushrooms. And I'm really concerned of where it's going. And if we say, okay, the state will tell us what to do, we are the local reps. And this is what worries me, because if we don't stand strong, as I say, we'll have wind farms covering the whole of the Central Highlands. We'll have no tourism. We'll have nothing. Come to the Central Highlands and see a turbine. And when they're all finished with, where do they go? You know, it's a big concern. It's bigger than just ticking the box, so to speak.
I agree with you on that situation. But then, Madam Mayor, you know, if you were the Premier, and we heard you today, Madam Mayor, but what I'm saying, would he perceive you as having a conflict?
I wouldn't be worried what he perceived.
I know. God bless you. Good for you. You stand strong.
Yes.
Stand for what you believe in.
Definitely. Councillor Meach.
My understanding is that when that application does come to us in relation to St. Patrick's Plains, we're assessing it on a very, very narrow basis. I think there's flicker from turbines. Is there, Louisa, what's the other one about the presence of the...
You're absolutely right, Councillor Meacham, because it is a level 2 activity.
Yeah.
The EPA will be, and the EPA board will be making most of the assessments.
Yes.
So
yeah.
A lot of the complexities Council will not have to assess. The two things that Council will have to assess are the flicker effect, which is the shadow flicker from the turbines, and the visual impact.
Yeah.
And the what?
Visual impact.
And, that's the one that and we're not just talking about one wind farm. As I said, there's plans for wind farms right around.
Can I ask Louisa a question down here? Louisa, is it possible in there that we could make those towers camouflage painted? You know, so that they'll sort of blend in with the terrain? Could they paint them?
No.
Red.
I'm not that question. Yeah. Yeah. It's something to do with aviation.
Yes.
Aviation and eagles and
worms. Yes. Well,
aviation. All right. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Graham, did you have something?
Just we're diverting a little bit off.
Yeah, we need to buy a certain day.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and we need to respond to it.
Otherwise, we'll be here for a
while. Yeah. 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 We should have had this read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a workshop would be much better.
Yeah. So I know you've got the 30th there, so you would need the comments by, what, the 27th?
Was the letter actually addressed to the mayor?
Which letter?
So it came with attached letter.
Mm-hmm.
But it was part of the email. If you can, so I think it's actually council or
from who to who?
From the state planning office.
Letter from Minister LDR. Oh, no, hang on.
To,
not
is it to the mayor or the GM?
Probably out of both, sometimes not.
Why don't you raise the very
attachment?
Or maybe do we move a motion that say that councillors provide their comments on this paper to the to the planner or to the general manager?
I'd recommend that we move through them now and arrive at some unit and just make it
a lot. I don't think we can now. You'll be sitting here and there's a lot of discussion. It's a bit rushed.
Yeah.
I don't like the rush.
So
what would you say, Adam?
Well, if we make a motion there, if councillors are happy, each one may want to put a motion that the council provides comments to the general manager by the 27th of November, and those comments will then be put into a submission and sent through.
How is it decided that there's a, how is it decided that what is the dominant view?
Well, yeah, we could include all, we would include all comments.
All comments,
right. How active and
there won't be a consensus of all comments.
No, there's a letter to the mayor.
Is
the one we're looking for. The comments should be on, please.
Yes, so there are six questions.
So the comments, through the chair, the comments should be on those boxes, items.
Yeah.
I know there may be other things, that's like Adam said, you can put constructive ones in, but we need those comments on what's sitting in those blue boxes.
I think I've already made a submission.
Okay, good.
First to the chair.
So
first
back to the motion for the time. Did you move that council meeting?
The letter is addressed to the mayor. That's
correct.
To me. On the 9th of October.
That's it. On page 60.
Page 62.
Not the agenda of the attachments.
Okay.
You want
okay.
You need a copy of that? Or?
Got it.
Councillor Leighton or Cassidy, who moved that motion to have it?
So we make individual submissions to the GM?
Yes.
Yeah. Knowing that the GM's got leave until about then.
Well, I'll go to Adam.
Yeah,
we'll
go
to
Adam.
Yeah, I've got you. That's fine.
We still have a GM.
Yes, I know you still have a GM.
We've got a GM here at the moment.
Okay.
Might
be acting, but the act says the acting GM.
The act is perfect, too.
Okay, Adam, so what was the...
I think the meeting is perfect, but I don't think we should change it.
I think the table's done a wonderful job of other wind farms, and I think they'll do a wonderful job with future wind farms as well. Thank you, Adam. That's good. All right, who's moving that motion? Councillor Mason, what's the motion? The motion is that individual councillors submit responses to all of those items in the blue box areas by the 27th of November.
And your second, Councillor Cassidy. Those for that motion. Is there anyone against that motion? That is carried. Okay. Lloyd, back to you. Anything else?
No. Brian.
Okay, is that it, is it?
Yeah. Can I just say, Louise, that was a good report. Thank you much for reading.
Yeah.
Thank you, Louise.
Thank you.
And do you have a supplementary agenda or items that will...
Oh, goody.
So we will be here for a while.
24.1 years. Well, if we're going to be here for welcome, we have lunch.
So the quarterly report was put in there by Bev. That was for noting, so you all would have read that.
Thank you.
24.2, the Southern Council's climate collaboration, community emissions. If anybody's read through that, because I can't get my head around most of it. But that's for noting as well.
We need more electric vehicles. That's what it looked like in the municipality. We need to get rid of diesel.
Just to butt in, sorry. I want to butt in now. I attended the World Wind Energy Conference for 3 days. Thank you very much. And you are spot on. GM. We need to now transition towards green energy in the transport, industry and agriculture.
And maybe the horse and cart will come next.
Bring that forward. Anything else?
The DS report is there. Yeah.
Did we move that? I can't see the light. Moved it. Move it, Councillor. Honour, seconder. Councillor, those four. And against, that is carried.
I've got to throw this one at you because I'm running out of time. It's to do with the swimming pool.
Oh, yes.
If you remember back 22 and 23, we didn't charge anyone to get into the pool. Cost to get in. Now, come budget time, when we passed the budget, we didn't actually have our prices, our fees in there. So I need to know whether I'm charging fees or we're going to make a motion that people are allowed into the pool for free again for this season. But in saying that, be aware, I'll put some figures together and roughly it cost me about $500 a day to run the pool.
We'll probably have to rescind the previous motion, didn't we?
Guards. I'm working with Southern Midlands. Worst scenario is we have to resource share through those guys, but their hourly rates are a lot higher than ours, plus we pay for travelling and that type of thing. So it may be that we have to cut the hours back a little bit, but still waiting to hear from our previous attendants, as in their sharing capacity. We've still got a month to go before we open up, because we won't be opening until school holidays. The reason for today is, do we charge to go in as fees in the budget, or are we having a motion to basically not charge for the season?
I supported Scott's. Scott's motion when this was put up last year, and I'd do it again, I think, in, with the current cost of living stuff and the quality of life for families with young children. And also it would be a help in recruitment, I'm sure, to relieve whoever's present not to have to do that financial management stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd move that again. We remit the fees next coming season. And keep in mind, last summer was actually quite a cool summer. So the motion is, yes, that we suspend the fees for this coming summer. I think, yes, that's it. Yeah.
And Councillor Cassidy second that. Those for that motion? Is there anyone going? That's carried. That's good, because there was a lot of people.
Yeah, there was.
I know, in Graham and Louisa's report, I was at the Southern Tasmanian Council Authority meeting yesterday, and there was Adele Fenwick.
Yes.
And I'd like to invite her along to a workshop to speak on the regional land use strategies. I think it'd be a great idea. So, you know, there's a timeline, 2023, 24, 25, but it was really interesting, the presentation she gave. So can we put that down, please, as a future workshop with Adele? She certainly turned her switch on to her, and doesn't she?
And Graham and myself have met with Adele. So she's a regional coordinator looking at growth in southern Tasmania. I will be representing Central Homes Council on that board with Adele.
Very good. And the other one at the Southern Tasmanian Council Authority yesterday was Paul Jackson. Do you know Paul from Southern Waste? And a workshop in 2024, he'd be happy to come along and speak at Southern Waste session as well. So we put those two names down, and that'll keep us well informed, I would hope.
Yes.
Anything else in VES?
With a lot of these, now through the chair, with Southern Waste and all these groups, even though we toe the line and we go along to the meetings and Bev and whatever, over quite a few years, we tend to get pushed into a lot of things that we can handle ourselves, if that makes sense. We pay for it on our own tip, basically as a collective with all the Southern Councils, even though we run our own chip. We pay a tonnage to put it in there. When it comes to recycling, there seems to be a monopoly on where it needs to go and what it costs us and things like that. And when we tend to throw ideas out, which we have, we seem to be back into the system, even though it could benefit the community ourselves. So sometimes it just upsets me that I'm sure we can deal with things ourselves, but Big Brother seems to lead the way and we have to sit in on it. But that's just, my opinion, that there's a lot of things that we could do ourselves that we have to basically go in the 23.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other
Move back. All right, so we've got a supplementary there, and everyone would have seen a copy of the final report and the summary report there. There was a 37 reform, recommendations, that they'll look at implementing in the next few years. And one of those was to bring down the number of councils down to, I understand, 15. And I think there is one council that is very proactive in it, which would be, two councils, which would be Latrobe and Kentish. Mm-hmm. And they've already been out there saying that they are going to work together to amalgamate. Mm-hmm.
And there's also a lot of councils that say no, definitely no amalgamation.
So this was really just basically putting it on the agenda for your consideration and to start thinking that we will have to put a submission in February, but also to ensure that our community have this information now. Because I don't think it's gone out to the community and the community aren't aware of it, and the community need to know, because it could be some large changes occurring in the next, next 18 months, especially going into another state election.
And we'll probably have to have another community meeting. Councillor Cassidy, then Nathan, then on.
Yes, regarding the final report, it's 200 pages of verbose bullshit, in my opinion. I went through it page by page, not the entire 200 pages, because there was not a lot of it that was pertinent to us. And I had made sticky notes throughout the report, and that will be the basis upon which I'll make my submission or my comments unabashed. I want to say that their grand scheme is to merge the Derwent Valley Council with us. I would think that the Derwent Valley Council wants that more than we want to merge with them. Now, I want to say that if you look at the numbers, they're showing the ratable land, commercial, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. What they did not separate, and what I would like to know, and I don't think they probably did not include that information, probably out of their convenience, but of all the ratable land, the figures they quote, Derwent Valley basically wants all the way up to Watamana. So I feel that Derwent Valley basically wants all of the most valuable land, and they're not interested in Bothwell, Interlochen, mining, and so forth. So, you know, this serves them, but it's a disservice to us in our municipality. Can we share services with them? I don't know what they have to offer. I asked Jason how he would benefit, if he thinks he could benefit. I think it's probably best that you talk to him on an individual basis, what he thinks. I don't see any benefit personally for us to engage with them. Insofar as resource sharing, I think we can still resource share with Southern Midlands Council, probably Brighton. If Derwent Valley has anything to offer us, perhaps them as well, I don't know. But my position is to stay as we are, retain the borders or the boundaries that we've already had long established, and continue pushing back against the state government. I firmly believe they've got the cart before the horse in this whole situation. If they wanted to force amalgamation upon us and reduce the number of councils, they should have had all of the infrastructure, all of the ICT, everything in place before they ever considered amalgamations. Because once we're on the same sheet of music, reading from the same sheet of music, using the same computers, the same iPads, the same phone systems, tires, right down to the toilet, brand of toilet paper and the loo, I think then we can communicate. Then we can merge. But until that happens, it's going to be an expensive exercise. But I want to know, they have identified in here that they will, I think it's number 29 out of 37 recommendations. It should have been number 1. And I think also number 13, if I seem to recall. That should have been their priority. But if that was the priority, who should pay for it? If they want it, the state should pay for it. They should pay for the infrastructure being amalgamated first. They haven't done that. I think this entire process, they were fairly condescending toward the council and councils. And I have to say, in the November 1st Mercury, there was an article in there about this review, and they said they consulted and so forth. I replied to that in the Mercury following up. Basically, let them know there was a misrepresentation. I actually offered Nick Street, Sue Smith, and the board to consult, to meet with me one-on-one. And they refused. And I brought it up at the public hearing, and I told Sue Smith in person, in the hallway, I gave you an opportunity. Why didn't you? Okay? So, anyway. Keep on fighting.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Councillor Meacham, Honour and Miller.
I'd be keen to hear Adam or Louisa's insight on this. They're actually absolutely clear that, yes, they're not going to go for forced amalgamations, but that they would mandate for some shared services. And they seem to focus particularly upon human resources. I'd be very... Now, before I pose the question to you two, I'd be all three... I've been very wary of mandating shared electronic sources, resources in particular. They tend to over-promise and under-deliver. But on the human resources side, could that be an issue for us? And that's a question to all three of you, please.
Well, I guess they've been trying to do that with Tazwater a number of years ago, where they did have the fourth organisation that didn't work. So, you had on stream and that just didn't go anywhere, and that's what it looks like. It looks like an on stream model for local government, which I can't see how it would work.
But more
details need to be provided.
Just on human resources.
I personally, correct me if you think otherwise, Brad, but I think resource sharing works really well.
As is.
Yeah. So you currently resource share planning and looking at heritage as well in terms of heritage planning support. And also we resource share engineering with Brighton for Lee Whiten.
Yeah.
And all of those occur very well. As you know, I come into the office, we don't share electronically because we operate on different information systems.
And that's what I'd be wearing on the shared system.
Councillor Honor, Councillor Machen. Councillor Honor Miller. It's actually in the community, because the plans and everything from Nick Street is actually on the news. So it is out there in the community if people have an interest in it.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Miller? My comment was that along the same lines as Councillor Cassin, I've had the misfortune to try and contact a councillor from the Dillon Valley concerning their illegal use of disabled parking, and it's taken.
Yes, you mentioned that.
And I'm not the only one. That particular councillor has yet to get back to me, and I've noticed now that the disabled parking is now free on the Saturdays for the market. They were taking that out to put stalls in, and it's illegal, they're not supposed to do it. And I got quite abused by the stallholders for moving one of the bollards to do it to save the farm. And if that's their way of dealing with their residents, community, I don't want anything to do with them. We need to. I must admit, our councillors, I've never heard a bad word. People say that the councillors not calling them back, not getting in contact. And I think we've got some really good councillors, and that's the way we should be.
Community, I was saying, if it ain't broke, why fix it? You know, I think. But anyway,
I was going to say, in the conclusion, I would like to give you an example of what big government looks like, or a supersized council. I called Tasmanian Health Service to find out a phone number and email address for this one department. I pushed all the buttons on the phone that they required me to. I listened to music for 20 minutes. And it's been over 2 weeks and I still have not got an answer. So imagine calling a supersized council about concession on rates or about a new dog licensing fee or whatever. How long is it going to take you to get through to a human being who's going to answer your question?
Probably wouldn't. And a voice message. I think that's all for
Just adding a little bit more to what Louisa was saying with the resource sharing. It's been a trend over the last 30 years, nearly 18 years now. Excuse me. And what we're finding and what I can see with the resource sharing, what they're aiming for is the expertise that was here 18 years ago through all councils and that sort of thing is now fading away.
Yeah.
You've got younger generations coming through, but they haven't got that expertise in their local areas. Excuse me. The same as what it was then. So you only have to see the patterns. So the resource sharing, as Councillor Cassidy said, New Norfolk mightn't have anybody down there that we can resource share or take something out of that. So you take it from somewhere else where you find that is. It might be someone up north. It might be the pick and cherries that are getting bigger and bigger all the time and give all those services. So it could be that the pick and cherries become the one-stop shop where the building surveyors, the permit authorities like myself, but they go out and resource out the other councils. So it's inevitable. It will happen. It'd be nice to have local people where you could employ, but I think those expertise and the way legislation's going now with all the requirements that you need and the education that you need to keep up with it all is just going to go out to these bigger companies that can supply all that those services to you.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, correct. Mm, thank you. Is there any other comments in the air? Just about, not quite. Here we go. We've got other business.
Yeah. So do we move the supplementary?
Didn't we move it?
Oh,
yeah. Did we know?
No, we didn't.
We
no. I'll have to have a mover.
A mover and a second.
Mover. Councillor Cassidy and Miller. Four. Again. Second is carried. Other business. This is something I want to make councillors aware of because I've handballed it to Adam. It's just your information with the sporting groups, the football club and the cricket club, they need the Wi-Fi to use the scoreboard. And currently the Bottle Bucks, the cricket team, they're, through speaking with Adam, they're investigating the possibility of getting a grant. But meantime, it's quite embarrassing that they have to use their own personal data and go in and out from outside to the inside. Thank you very much. And to go inside and adjust the scoreboard. So you might be looking over, it might be 23
yeah.
runs
yeah.
for 5 minutes, and then it might be two goals, whatever. So I think it's important, and Adam will speak to this for me, that it only costs something like $3,000 to get it moving now. And to give just the president, I'm not saying share personal data from council with anyone, only the president of the footy club, the president of the cricket club, a password. It doesn't have to be the password if it's got confidential stuff of council. They need a password to use the Wi-Fi. I think it should be fast-tracked. Without having to go through any other process, it's pretty much straightforward. Do you want to add to that, Adam? Because I've been talking to you about that.
Yes, look, I have spoken with the Bottle Cricket Club, and they're going to talk with the Bottle Football Club to look at purchasing, or if the council can provide a donation, to look at purchasing the satellite link. The number of rural properties that are using now, and then they would pay the monthly fees, and it would be their own Wi-Fi.
And did you say that would be around $3,000?
No, I think it's only a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe we could fast forward and get a motion to push that. Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, I'm happy to move a motion, but I would like to ask why satellite? It is only 600 metres away. You've got a Telstra / Optus tower. And they could do a free-to-air, or what do they call that?
That's what they were.
Ship wireless.
Yeah, fixed wireless.
Yeah, so I guess
so,
that's what they were. They were stating, so yeah.
So I would move a motion then with the council.
I would probably wait until the Greek club come back with their proposal.
What can they do on the personal stuff?
They just use their phone.
Yeah, personal.
Yeah.
But what I'm suggesting is all it takes is in contract with either Optus or Telstra.
Okay, Telstra.
Or you know, it doesn't matter, but it's up to them, you know, Telstra or Optus, to have a fixed wireless to that Optus tower, 600 meters away. The connection is very, very reliable, and they can buy a modem, or Telstra or Optus will issue them a free modem. So I think that's the cheapest solution all the way around, and we could give a donation to that.
Do you want to make a motion towards that so we can get some,
that's the motion.
And that'll save them going for a grant. So,
the motion to put a new connection in.
A new fixed wireless connection.
Fixed wireless.
With exclusive passwords for the president of the football club and the cricket club.
We're going to do the same with Gretchen or all the other ones?
We'll have to, when it comes up.
When they ask.
Have your bugger.
No, Gretna used their phone.
I think we've covered Gretna pretty well at the moment. Fixed wireless connection.
Yes, fixed wireless connection. Exclusive password for the president of the football club and cricket club.
Okay. All right, second for the motion, please. Second, Councillor Miller. Are you for the motion? Is there anyone against the motion? That is passed. Any other council business, Councillor Miller?
Bailey had one regarding...
Regarding your
buses.
Hang on a minute,
Councillor. Can I get clarity on the audit committee? Would there be a forum there if Simon and I are going to be absent?
That's correct. There'll be a forum.
There'll be a forum. So that's okay.
Yes,
okay.
I had checked the charter.
Yeah,
a quorum of the audit panel meeting is two members, including the independent member, and the independent member will be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Ian? Yeah. Thank you. So I think Tony wanted, Councillor Bailey wanted to talk about school bus route extension requests.
There it is.
Okay, Councillor Bailey.
We're just going to look at the local area. You got an email. So if you want to forward the email to me, and I can forward it off the people. But
so what do you want to discuss?
Well, I've just sent that email and asked, will I present it to council this morning and show them
what they're talking about. Tell us what you'd like.
Yeah, so I guess it's looking at the local area schools, and they do this every few years. They do this.
Who's they?
The council, the education department.
So
we're talking
about the
education
department, and I've got Councillor Onan shaking his head, she's saying something else.
It's not
education department, it's state growth.
Passenger transport department, state growth.
So if we had more detail, Councillor Bailey.
Well, if you send it to me, then I can send it out to council so they can be aware of it, and then we can put it on the agenda for the December council meeting. I think that's probably the best way.
We need something to
extend the bus route from Allendale to the Lower Highway out here at Meadowbank. Pick out students to go to college. The Washdown Bay out here.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I can't get in. I'm going to pay a fee. I can't get in the weekend. I can't get in the bloody week now, but anyway, let's go. of a weekend, mainly when I want to wash down, I can't get through, which is, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do about it, but I've paid up my yearly sub, and the same as the truck drivers anywhere else.
Well, you shouldn't be locked out if you're paying a sub.
Well, I do, and I am. So, I don't know. I think we should probably try and do something about it. I mean, you go to Boxall and you can just drive to the key and they go in with it. And wash their trucks down the same as they do, you know, the same as oil I've done here. But now I can't get in. There's nobody in the yard at the present moment, and Adam's not home.
So
I turn around and go back home.
Well, I have been advised by the general manager that I can't give out the
No, I don't know.
And we did talk about that the other day, and I did say that I would bring that up when the general manager returned. Thanks for
that. Yeah.
And I do understand that at this stage you would have to only wash the vehicle when you can get into the yard and someone opens the gate for you.
Yeah.
That would be the works manager or supervisor or myself, and when the office returns here shortly, I guess just going into the front counter and then opening the gate for you. However, that does cause you quite a bit of grief because you can't wash the vehicle after hours or on the weekend, which you normally do. And I know you have had a key for at least 2 years that I'm aware of. Maybe longer than that.
And it's a thing too, if Tony's been carving sheep and they've messed all over the vehicle or whatever, he can't have that sitting there floor blown for days, so he really does need access somehow.
Yeah, I guess, it's just the new security system that's gone in, and I just thought, look, if we can hold it over, I think it was only about 3 days ago that we spoke about it.
Yeah, mate.
And I'd like to fix it, but I thought, look, I'll give the general manager her control of it, and I didn't want to step over it because it could cause us, if I did get about the code,
I understand that.
But there's too many codes and everything being locked up and no access. And as I said before, the issue I've got with the code to actually go into the office.
It's a bit over the top. We
need to sort it.
Yeah, but we might be able to just get you one of the electronic buttons that you press and it'll the gate will open. So then you don't have to give you.
You're talking about keys, being with the organising of the street library, and I must thank Judy Mann because she's taking over from me for a while. We can't get the books out unless we ask someone from the mention. Is there any way that we can get a spare key to be able to get into that old?
The agreement is that hopefully we'll be able to move the books back into the records room here very shortly.
There's a lot more books than what there was before.
Oh, yeah, but I know that they don't want them up there. It's causing them issues regarding their corridor and everything like that. So it is only in their current location, temporary, until we can move them back into the record.
But what would you want a key to the school so that we can get in there? The meeting has not yet finished. I can't see the problem because all the books are they don't use the corridor. The books are in two big cupboards that I purchased, and the The council's able to open a big bookshop, and all of those are fully stopped.
Yes.
So I can't see why what their problem is, because it's not untidy and it's all stacked neatly.
So what are you asking to mention, Richard?
Well, I didn't know whether I could, whether
yes,
I could
you
get...
Yes, you definitely can. Whether I could get... You're the woman's here, don't you? The
she-shed,
whatever it's called.
So, yes.
Just
so that we didn't have to keep asking Mark or Tiger or whoever's got a key to let us in.
So all the women should have a key. The women
well, should. No, that would be sure. I can't let you.
So you're requesting
a key for the inside of the shed. I mean, that still gets us into the other side.
And that's the council building, isn't it? That fits council.
No, it's a lease building.
A lease building.
So
by council?
We'd have to check with the leaser to see if they're okay. They're not okay with the books being there. They're okay with the books being there for a short period of time until they're relocated back to the records room. And that's okay. Where I want them to come back to the records room as soon as possible. And then... Because I think we didn't actually ask the lease of the property permission to put the books there in the first
but
place.
I'm,
so we probably
I'm
did the wrong
thing. I'm having the same problem as Tony, not being able to get into the library of things I need to.
Have you been getting into it in the last 3 months?
I've been asking Mark to let me
in. I think you'll have to do that until we move back into the record.
So I'll have to sort it after that.
Yeah.
And when is council moving back into Hamilton?
You would need to discuss that with the new general.
Is it a secret?
No, you're going to
be using it on the ground.
Sure, they still haven't paid it out yet. But I went in there about 2 weeks ago and walls are still leaking again. And
it doesn't look very likely for December. I've heard it's going to be after December. It would look, because of the extra damage that he was done, it could be until now after
Christmas.
Just one other thing, thank you. Janet just reminded me. If you would like a Central Highlands vest, sleeveless, with the logo on it, I'd like to know who would like one. It'd be nice if we represented council with a vest.
What kind of vest, Lou?
Janet might explain. It's a sleeveless, isn't it, Janet?
Wouldn't a jacket be nice?
It's just a nice jacket. A jacket like that, Mayor.
It's one or the other, but you need to give your order to who, Janet?
Do you want
to
pass a motion?
I like the decoration.
And then we can implement the proposal. What we'll do, we'll have a motion on the books, and then whether you wish for a jacket or a vest, you will let General Manager know. This is for jacket or vest. You will contact the GM, please, with your size. It will have the Central Highlands logo on it.
Can we see a photo?
Acting General Manager?
I used to work at Michael Taylor's menswear.
It should be red if you're going to be waving it at me.
Or
it
should have
a
white
beard.
I'll take it.
To purchase that you would like a jacket to represent.
Who moved the motion?
You do need Once you get it, to where it will be meeting.
Yeah.
And when you are out representing council.
Woo!
Wow, that is nice.
Hey. That's an extra large. So you want to try, the extra large on
the okay, let's finish the meeting. Okay. So, okay, with sizes, whether it be a jacket or a vest, contact the GM with that information and we'll see what we can do. What was the motion, please, Adam?
Councillor Hall and Councillor Legion seconded it, that each councillor can obtain a jacket or vest and that they contact the general manager with their size. If you would like to try a large on, we have a large and we have an extra.
All right, let's get the meeting over first. All right. Anything else from council?
No.
Have you got a
file? I now close the meeting at 10:52.
Is that Excel?
12:52. Thank you.
Do you want to try the Excel?
On Excel, yeah.
So that was a bit of fun.